B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
He writes baseball and covers the Phillies for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Bob Brook over on the Comcast Business Highline Beyond Fast. Bob, what's the update on the GM chair?
I thought we were going to talk about Connor Brogdon improving the bullpen. But,
yeah, we're not.
Okay. All right. We better go into the GM then. There's no update as of right now. You know, there's sentiment on both sides inside that building. There's some people who think that he's staying, and there's some people who think he's not staying. You know, I was just talking to Tyrone before we started the call about if we poll the fans, it's going to be about 98-2% in favor of getting rid of the general manager right now. And that's a lot of pressure on John Middleton. So we'll see what he decides. I'm just hoping, and he shouldn't have to take as long as it took him to get his thoughts together about Gabe Kapler last year. We went 10, 11 days before we found out what was happening with Gabe last year. He's had 5 years to look at Matt Klentak, see what he's done with, in terms of the analytics department, running a team, building a farm system. It's all there. So, he should be able to come to a much quicker decision this year than
yeah.
he did a year ago.
I mean, I totally agree with that. And see, here's the thing. He's not oblivious to fan sentiment, but he has enough information in front of him without fan sentiment about this whole thing. Because, and we were talking about it earlier, at every level, on the field, in the farm system, the scouts in the farm system, the coaches who coach those players in the farm system, the trades that he made that didn't work out, the advanced scouts who recommended that trade. There has not been a success.
Yeah, I mean, we can say there have been some. I mean, getting Jay Trumoto was a good move. Signing Bryce Harper, good move. Drafting Alec Bohm was obviously a good move. There have been, and Didi was a good move. Zach Wheeler was a good move. There have been some good moves. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to say that there haven't been any good moves. But it was all just crumbled to pieces by the bullpen, and that was Matt Klentak's responsibility to build a good bullpen. In the offseason, he didn't really address it enough. The one thing we don't know is who didn't want them to go over that, the salary threshold, and get be taxed. Was that a thing that Matt Klentak really didn't want to do this year, or was it a thing that John Middleton didn't really want to do this year? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And, nobody's willing to give me the answer to that question. But they should have, and they should have had a better bullpen to start. And then when he got a chance to remake the bullpen in the middle of the season, well, we know that was perhaps even a bigger disaster. He might have been better off. I'm not even going to say might. I think he would have been better off sticking with Nick Pivetta. This is hindsight entirely, but sticking with Nick Pivetta and maybe trying to make him a reliever because he certainly got the arm, and maybe trying some of the younger guys sooner would have been better than what he brought in, because that ended up being a disaster. Now, I can't say that I said that at the time, because I didn't, but it became what it became, and that was a disaster.
Let's look. I don't know. I assume McPhail would be a guy that would be standing up for Klentak. But why isn't his job a job? He might be the money manager that Middleton trusted, who didn't want to go over the luxury tax. But what's McPhail's status in this whole thing?
It's a great question, Mike. Because I don't know, and I also don't know the first part of what you said there. If that's true, if McPhail. You got to remember McPhail when Matt Klentak decided to change managers from Pete McCann to Gabe Kapler, made the comment, you only get so many of these as a general manager before they start saying, what about the general manager? He made that comment. So I don't know for sure that Andy McPhail's in his corner. Mm-hmm. I do know this, and this is an interesting part of the whole dynamic here. This is a conversation I had with Middleton before the season started about how much he still listens to Pat Gillick and how strong a voice Pat Gillick still has in this organization. Where Pat Gillick comes down on this issue, I don't know. He certainly was more of a guy who relied on his scouting eyes and his scouts than the analytics, because that's the age he worked in. But how much is his voice going to influence this decision? I have to think some, for sure, from based on what Middleton told me before the season.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, what do you think the arguments are for keeping him? Like, if you put it on a balancing scale, I can easily put it on a balancing scale and say, overall, so yeah, there have been some successes, but overall, it's been a failure of this regime. So what are the arguments for it to keep him?
Well, one of the main ones, I guess, a couple. One would be, it's hard to judge somebody on this season because it was a 60-game season. You know, it just wasn't normal. Their schedule got screwed up right from the start because of the Marlins' COVID. They had to play 8 doubleheaders. And the points I made out about, you know, Bohm and I joked about Connor Brogdon, but he was certainly a success. If you put it in column A and column B were to get rid of him, it would be a stronger column. The other thing you could say, because it is a shortened season, is if it wasn't for that bullpen blowing 8 leads of 3 runs or more, by far the most in baseball, could they have been a playoff team? I mean, Joe Girardi said it the last day of the season, I think we could have won 35 to 38 games. I think we were good enough to do that. I got to think that helps Matt Klentak's case. I have no reason not to take Joe Girardi at his word about working with Matt Klentak and enjoying that. And maybe there's part of Joe saying, hey, you know what? I have a good working relationship. The end of my tenure in New York, I did not have a great working relationship with Brian Cashman. I'd rather have this known guy that I feel like I can work with. I think having him in his corner has to help Klentak some. So there, those are things that Middleton is going to have to weigh in terms of, was it just the bullpen? To me, it comes down to, was it just the bullpen? And if so, if I'm John Middleton, do I believe Matt Klentak can fix this bullpen in 1 year and make us that much better team? But he's also got to get, he's also got spots to fill. If he can't get JT Realmuto back or Didi Gregorius back, then it becomes a much bigger thing in terms of keeping this team, because this team was good in a lot of ways. They had, an offense that was elite.
All right, we're talking about Bob Brookover. He wrote the story covering the Phillies in baseball year that Klentak could be back. Now, Bob, whatever they do, whether they bring him back or not, you're right, and you just touched on it. The makeup of this team will be what next year? That Didi is a free agent. Realmuto is a free agent. It's going to tax the luxury tax situation even more. They need a center fielder. They need a rebuilt bullpen. They may need another starting pitcher to get from somewhere if Spencer Howard is not the guy. So where are they going with this as far as their money situation for whoever is the GM?
Yeah, I mean, they're losing some salary here too. Obviously, they would. JT's salary would go off and Didi's salary would go off. Arrieta's salary is going to disappear. So there's going to be some money there. Everybody in baseball is talking about what kind of offseason it's going to be anyway, because they just had a season without fans, and who knows what we're going to be looking at in February in terms of fans coming back at that point. I got to think they will in some capacity, even if it's not 100%. There's a lot of things to consider, and that's the big question. Do you believe that Matt Klentak's the right guy to take you to a different place? To take you out of what you've already been in. He wouldn't be the first general manager here ever kept beyond 5 years without winning. But it's a different landscape now than it ever has been before, because John Middleton has taken the Phillies I mean, they've gone there before when they were really winning, but even not before winning, he's taken them into another stratosphere as far as payroll goes.
All right. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Bob, I know you'll be all over it. So we'll keep an ear out there for what happens with this GM situation. Thanks for coming on.
It will be fascinating, Mike. Have a great day.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Bob Brooke over in the Inquirer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.